Welcome back to the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. As the country and our state of Illinois gradually reopens in phases, many people are beginning to sense a gradual return to normal, or at least some version of normal. And while the pandemic is far from over, we already know it's undoubtedly changed us. Life in quarantine has, of course, been challenging in many ways, but it's also forced us to reevaluate some of those so-called normal parts of life, at least from the before times. And somewhere in all that social distancing and quarantining are some silver linings. Maybe it's a new realization or a new habit or just having the chance to spend some more quality time with family. So much quality time with family. So maybe, after all, there are actually some parts of life in quarantine that are worth holding on to. Joining us now to talk about COVID-19 silver linings in her recent article on Vox, "The Coronavirus Has Changed Us and It's Not All Bad," is Sigal Samuel, staff writer for Vox's Future Perfect. Hello, Sigal. Welcome to the 21st.
Hi, thanks for having me.
And listeners, our lines are open. We're taking your calls on the silver linings of quarantine. The number is 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. We want to know if any positive realizations, lessons, or habits you might have discovered during social distancing, maybe a new hobby, more time with your kids. Call us and share. 800-222-9455. You can also always tweet us at 21st Show. So, Sigal, you asked Vox's readers to share the specific changes they want to maintain from quarantine. How did you go about that, and what was the response?
Well, I started by putting out a call out on social media and through our email newsletter, asking readers to tell me which changes they want to maintain when they emerge from quarantine. And I got more than 100 responses from across the globe. And right away, I started to see 8 broad trends leaping out in the responses. So I can walk through those for you if you like.
Yeah, maybe pick a couple of to sort of start. What was the most popular sort of trend that you saw in the responses?
So by far the most popular response was reducing consumerism, which I thought was really interesting. A lot of people said they want to spend less money shopping for new gadgets and new clothes. They're realizing that a lot of their previous consumer behavior was about instant gratification, but it wasn't necessarily bringing lasting happiness. So lots of people told me they want to just mend and make do going forward. And to the extent that they do have to buy new things, people want to spend their money on small local businesses. So that's kind of an encouraging response.
Yeah, no, that's interesting because a lot of small businesses have obviously suffered during the pandemic, and major corporations, at least the ones with big online presences like Amazon or Walmart and Target that have been able to stay open in most places, they've thrived. Can you talk a little bit more about what people have said about, you know, shopping local?
Yeah, I mean, one 23-year-old illustrator in the United Arab Emirates actually wrote in and she said, "It breaks my heart how much these small local businesses have suffered lately and how, unlike big corporations, they're less likely to survive." So I think there really is this growing awareness that, you know, there's utility to putting your dollars towards local businesses because we've seen with our own eyes how vulnerable they are when something like a pandemic hits.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with our guest, Sigal Samuel, staff writer for Vox's Future Perfect, where she recently wrote a piece called "The Coronavirus Has Changed Us and It's Not All Bad." And we want to hear how it's changed you in good ways. If you have any silver linings from the pandemic, positive realizations, that sort of thing, give us a call, 800-222-9455. The number again is 800-222-9455. And we've been talking among our staff about, for parents of children, maybe who are not used to having kids at home to teach and feed and entertain all day long. And sometimes they themselves are working, the parents are. And I want to read a response we got from our Text the 21st group. This one is from Angie in Onarga, Illinois, who says, quote, "A couple of weeks into my kids being home from school, I was trying to understand how the quarantine was affecting them. I suddenly realized the amazing number of people who would love on my kids every day at school." And then I'm going to paraphrase. She goes on to talk about, you know, the good morning from the bus driver, high five from the principal, the PE teacher who gives them reassurance, the favorite lunch lady who gives them a hug. You know, there's a village of people who invest in her kids throughout a school day, she says. And that's Angie from Onarga. So, Sigal, I'm curious what sort of things you heard from parents in your survey.
It was a kind of a funny mix. I think we have to be really honest about the fact that I'm not a parent myself, but I know that for a lot of parents, this has been a really, really hard time. It's not easy to suddenly have your kids home all the time with you and have to entertain them and educate them. So it has been really challenging. At the same time, a lot of people wrote in saying that the pandemic has taught them they want to prioritize time with family and friends more going forward because, when the chips are down, you see who really shows up for you. And for a lot of people, that's their family members. And people have said that this really nice kind of unexpected side effect of the pandemic has happened where suddenly they found themselves on Zoom or FaceTime calls with estranged family members who are halfway around the world that they didn't get to talk to before. One woman actually said that, she's talked more with her nephews in the last few weeks than she's talked with them in years. So there's been some kind of positive outcomes for some folks.
So I want to shift gears a little bit and talk about, obviously the pandemic has not been, it's, we're talking about silver linings, but this is a terrible situation for some people. Unemployment's at record levels, 13.3%. That number hasn't been seen since the Great Depression. And I wonder how that, in your reporting, affected people's experience in quarantine and their, maybe their ideas of career paths.
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad you mentioned this because I think undoubtedly the people who are now getting to say, oh, wow, there are some great silver linings here, that is a very privileged position, right? So if
Totally.
you've lost your job, for example, you might be really wanting to work more, not less right now. That caveat said, for people who are lucky enough to still have their jobs and to be able to work from home, there is actually a lot of many responses I got saying, we're realizing that we want to slow down and put less career pressure on ourselves. People who have found that a lot of status chasing was actually making them miserable. And quarantine is the first time they've let themselves slow down in many, many years. So it's kind of interesting that people are realizing that all of this sort of hyper competitive attitude toward work wasn't making them happy, and they're really reevaluating that now.
Interesting, slowing down at work. Yeah. So, you also write that one of the more encouraging other responses you receive was, now that I guess it's somewhat ironic in a time of social distancing, but the pandemic actually showed people just how interconnected we are, right? And it sparked this greater degree of ethical action and activism. Can you talk about how people are participating now in maybe ways they hadn't prior to the pandemic?
Yeah, so people told me they're donating more to charitable causes, whether it's food banks in the US or, trying to prevent COVID-19 abroad. They're trying harder to reduce their carbon footprint. A lot of people told me they're happy they don't have to commute to work offices anymore because it's helping to save the environment a bit. And they're engaging in more political activism. I think we've seen very clearly that this pandemic is disproportionately taking Black lives, and the protests we've seen in the past few weeks around mobilizing for Black lives have galvanized a lot of people. I think millions are now fighting for racial justice who weren't doing that before. I think that's partly a result of the killing of George Floyd and the protests around that, but also partly around this realization that COVID has taken a harder, more serious toll on Black communities. So it's been encouraging to see that extra mobilization in terms of political activism.
On that subject of public engagement with news and politics, I want to read one of the responses you received that intrigued us. It's a quote, "For the longest time, I did not keep up with current news. It's not hard to see why our world is a mess," and I'm substituting for a more colorful metaphor there, "but our world is a mess and my mental health is bad enough as it is." This was from Adrienne DeRoy, a 27-year-old reader in the U.S. Goes on to say, "But the Black community is rising up yet again to face their challenges, made me look, and seeing the world slowly but surely start to fall in step with the protests here, the voices crying out as one, it gives me some small semblance of hope, hope that maybe we will get through this and come out better than we were before." So, Gal, my question to you is, do you think the protests against police brutality and racial injustice would have swept the country to the degree they have if we had not been in this time of pandemic and lockdown or quarantine?
No, I don't. I think that the mass mobilization has been helped by the fact that a lot of people don't have to go into a job, an office every day now. So there are just simply more bodies available to protest in the streets these days. You know, I do think that people would have mobilized regardless, you know, even if we weren't in this weird pandemic time. But I think the availability of bodies, sheerly because a lot of people are unemployed or able to work from home now and have more discretion over their time, has been a helpful force in some sense for these protests.
Listeners, we are talking about quarantine silver linings with our guest Sigal Samuel, staff writer for Vox's Future Perfect. And if you want to share your quarantine silver lining, you can give us a call, 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. You may also have heard a few of the responses we've gotten in our Text the 21st group. We also want to invite you to join us there by texting TALK. The number for that is 217-803-0730. That's text the word TALK to 217-803-0730. So, Gal, I'm curious how people have changed the way they're being physically active during the pandemic. We got another text message from Wilbur in Rantoul, Illinois, who says, because our parks did not shut down, disc golf has gained more players in the last few months. So there's a little silver lining from Wilbur. I wonder, what did you find that people are doing differently with exercise and physical activity?
Disc golf, that's a new one to me.
You should try it. It's like a frisbee. You take a frisbee and throw it at a little metal basket.
Wow. Okay. I'm down. Yeah. A lot of people wrote in saying daily exercise. They've kind of discovered the incredible impact this can have on their mental health, their physical health, their sleep, their mood. So a lot of people who weren't previously into fitness have now been getting into running, yoga, other activities to sort of cope with the lockdown. And they say they really want to keep that up after lockdowns are over. I can vouch for that myself. I've been doing a lot of yoga on YouTube, and I'm not the only one. There's this channel, Yoga with Adrian, that has gone insanely popular over the course of the lockdown because a lot of people really want to exercise, but they're stuck at home.
So there's a positive economic story. If you're a YouTuber with a yoga channel, this is a real opportunity for you. You also write that the, just speaking of health, maybe going the other way, that the sourdough obsession is real. And I wonder how the pandemic has changed our relationship with food.
Yeah, it's been actually really funny. A lot of people have been talking to me in very glowing terms about their sourdough starters, or the things that they're fermenting. People who are fermenting foods just talk about it with this manic gleam in their eyes. So people are getting really, really excited about it. And I have never been one to grow herbs, but suddenly I have some cilantro sprouts growing right here in my bedroom. So I think there's a couple of things happening with that. I think part of it is this, you know, back to nature impulse. It offers a psychological comfort at a time of major uncertainty for us. And that's not new. We saw that in World War I and World War II, when Americans were growing their own fruits and vegetables in so-called victory gardens. So it's comforting to kind of re-engage with nature and natural ingredients in that way. And I think it's also very practical. I think a lot of us at the beginning of the pandemic were freaking out about whether there would be food shortages and supply chain problems. And so there's this sort of comfort in feeling like, well, if the stores run out of food, at least we'll have these vegetables that we're growing.
You know, it's interesting. I wonder, you know, if that also relates to our relationship with time. And we've even talked on the show about how, you know, pandemic time is sort of this flat circle, to borrow a phrase. You know, I've looked out the same window where I've been hosting this show from in my home in central Illinois. And, you know, I saw snowfall at one point, and now there's birds and trees and grass. Do you think that this is a, you know, this engagement with nature, this engagement with sort of slow foods has to do with our distorted nature, you know, understanding of how time is affecting us?
I do. I think that actually there's something kind of oddly therapeutic about, in particular, seeing plants and herbs grow. You know, my grandmother, for example, hasn't been able to leave her house since the pandemic really started in March here in North America. And for her, I think the way she's measuring the passing of time is seeing her plants grow day by day. That is the marker that, in fact, time is not a flat circle, it is still moving forward. So there's something kind of comforting in that.
All right. So the last thing I want to ask you about, we've got just a couple of minutes left here, but you know, for a lot of us, as I was just kind of alluding to personally, the concept of a workplace has changed in industries, at least where it was possible to work remotely, like public radio host, and people have had to adapt to that. I wonder if you find people have preferred this new virtual workplace. Do you think it's here to stay to some degree?
I do. I think that this has pretty well destroyed the myth that remote work isn't as practical as a 9-to-5 office job. And a lot of people are discovering now that, hey, working from home actually offers a lot of benefits. You know, you have less stress commuting. You can get in some more sleep. You don't have to add pollution when you're commuting. You can work with clients that are in different cities from you. You're not limited by your geography anymore if you're doing all your consultations by Zoom. And I think employers are going to have an increasingly hard time arguing with their employees that, no, you really need to be in the office to be able to do your job. So I do think it's here to stay for, you know, to a certain degree.
All right. Sigal Samuel is a staff writer at Future Perfect, which is part of Vox. Her article is "The Coronavirus Has Changed Us, and It's Not All Bad." We'll have a link to it on our website, which is 21stshow.org. We'll also tweet it out at 21st Show. That's at 21st Show. Sigal, thank you so much for joining us today on the 21st and sharing your reporting.
Thanks so much. Take care.
Coming up after a short break, we are going to be talking about a new documentary effort from PBS. It's collecting stories from people in the pandemic. It's called American Portraits. There's a national initiative, but Illinois Public Media has been talking to people right here in Central Illinois. We're going to be talking to a couple of the participants and about the process of making the documentary. That conversation coming up after a short break. You're listening to The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. Stay with us.